Jay, I don't know, and welcome and good morning to you.
Thank you for having me.
And I don't know if you guys have seen, you know, people contacting you while we've been away to maybe discuss exactly this kind of thing, you know, like the comfortable, how comfortable or how uncomfortable they are with having to go to work, having to go out or reopening or staying home. It's just throwing you a curveball here, and I apologize for that.
Okay, but, don't worry about it.
Have you guys seen that? You know, have you guys seen that?
Yeah,
counseling and career services?
Yeah, I think what happens is people's stress levels tend to increase with just general changes in their lives, like unexpected changes. So there's no bigger change than this pandemic and this quarantine that we've all been sort of forced to undergo. And as we're going through this transition of opening it up, we sort of developed a new normal as we've been under quarantine in the pandemic. So I feel like we're going through another change of adapting to quote unquote normal life. But what is normal life? And it seems like it's happening in these stages. So the changes that happen now are more incremental, and they provide just as much stress for us because there's uncertainty associated with the changes.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, for HEC, there hasn't really been any official, you know, plans for the fall yet, and we continue to look to see what's going to happen, and I guess it's really going to depend on, as we reopen, what that's going to do to the numbers and where are we going to be, you know, by the time fall really arrives. So let's just be patient, I think. Let's just be patient. Let's continue to take care of ourselves. Let's move forward, because it is necessary to move forward, and as I said, just respect, you know, where everybody is in this process and what everybody is comfortable with. Let's not push for everybody to go out at the same time. Let's not push for everybody to stay home, because different people have different needs. And, you know, that's at the end of the day what we need to keep in mind. And that's the real thing that we need to get comfortable with, that we are not going to agree on anything, you know, on everything. Mm-hmm. And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
So Jay, you know, I wanted to start this conversation by just getting to know you a little bit better. We're going to talk about career counseling services at Howard Community College and everything that you guys do for students and staff also. But I wanted to get to know you a little bit better before we dive into all of that you guys do at HEC, and just get to see who Jay is, you know, and where you come from and how you got to be at HEC today.
Sure. No, thanks for asking. Well, I grew up in Maryland. I actually come from a military family. My dad was stationed in the Pentagon, so I didn't have to move around a lot when I was a kid. But I went to the University of Maryland as an undergrad, so go Terps. And when I was at University of Maryland, I really struggled with my identity in terms of what I was doing. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? I changed my major several times. I was on the sort of six-year plan in terms of graduation. So it seems nice that I'm at an office now that helps students find a direction in their lives and points them in a direction and get some clarity with what they want to do with the future. I also, my first job after graduating was as a school counselor. So I worked in a middle schools, I worked in high schools for a little while before I went on to get my graduate studies, and eventually became a licensed psychologist. And when I was going to all the different schools and graduate schools, I was all over the country. So for the past 10 years, I've actually been back here. And it's been nice to be back in Maryland, my home. I actually live in the town in PG that I grew up in. So that feels really good. And most of my job since graduation has been as a staff psychologist. So I've worked at four-year institutions as one of the just staff psychologists doing, and you know, clinical work, outreach, programming, doing group work. And then about 8 years ago, I applied for this job as the director here. And it was my first experience working at a community college. And so it was really quite eye-opening in terms of all the challenges that community colleges students face, as well as some of the similarities. The the counseling services at HCC actually are very structured, very similar to a four-year school, which is pretty unheard of when you compare us to other community colleges. And then some of the students, the diversity of the student body in terms of who they are and where they are in their lives, where they're using their schooling and education and how it's a stepstone to other things. Those are unique aspects to a community college that I hadn't been exposed to before, but it's been great. I really enjoyed working here, and I can't think of a better place to work, actually. And so a lot of the work that I do in the center, as well as running the center, is I do some clinical work. So I actually see students for individual counseling as well. But it's been a great place to work. I've been really enjoying the people I work with. It's a very collaborative institution. So I feel like we all communicate really effectively with each other and other departments. So it's really good to be here.
I like what you said. You said that, you know, coming to work at a community college was different, that you know, in a way that you didn't expect. And I'd love for you to expand that. You know, what makes a community college so unique, so different?
Yeah, I think when I was at the four-year institutions, you had a majority of the typical college-age students, especially as undergrads, 18 to 20, mid-20s, so they were sort of semi-dependent on their parents financially. But at a community college, you get people of all different ages, people at all different in terms of their life cycle, and then you get people that are in the work world. You get people that have several jobs. You have single parents that are trying to balance work or several jobs in school and raising children and raising a family. You have people that are laid off because of the economy was so bad. So all of a sudden they're thrown into this unemployment arena, and they don't know what to do with their lives because they've done this job for 20 years. So we're trying to sort of re-help them negotiate who they are and what their skills are and how we can get them back into the world of work. And then, you know, the personal issues in terms of personal counseling are pretty severe. I mean, people are struggling with severe anxiety, severe depression, or real life problems, and stuff that's going on in society with everything we hear about George Floyd and all the horrible things that are going on in the news. Everybody's impacted by that and affects every part of our lives. So we try to offer just a little bit of support during these really difficult times.
Absolutely. You know, it's, We're living in interesting times is the word that I like to use. There's a lot of good happening. There's a lot of opportunity that's coming out of this. There's a lot of great conversations. And I personally believe in the power of communication as a tool that can definitely change the world. Communication, effective communication to me is, you know, being able to share what I feel, to be heard, not to come back with an answer, but actually to try to be understood. And I think that that's what we need to learn, you know, as a country. And I think that that's a valuable thing that I learned at HCC actually as a student in one of my classes. I forget the name of the class, but I know that we were debating many times. And even though the purpose there was, you know, to try to make our points, I remember a teacher saying exactly that. Our teacher was saying, you know, when you're listening to what the counterpart is saying, you cannot be already researching, you know, based on what he said at the beginning of the conversation, you can't already be researching and looking at into your books to see, okay, how do I rebuke that? He said, then you're missing the whole point, and you're missing, you know, the valuable part of their point, to be able to come back. And he said, and many times it's okay within the debate to say, you know what, I actually never thought about that. I understand what you said, and I can connect with that, even though you might still not, it doesn't mean that you're changing your perspective, but now you're understanding the other side, and that's really effective and powerful communication. So I appreciate what you said, Jay, because I think that we need more of that. We need more of that conversation and that communication happening right now. We need safe places where to have them as well. So absolutely. With that in mind, you know, what's the mission of the career and counseling services at Howard Community College?
Sure. Well, we're a comprehensive mental health counseling and career center. We offer programs and initiatives that help promote mental health, wellness, and well-being. And we help students plan for the future through planning and job search and experiential learning like co-ops and internships and co-ops with a sensitivity to the diverse students that come and see our offices. We also have a Career Links program that provides customized care to eligible single parents, single pregnant women, as well as displaced homemakers so they can attain their academic success and career success.
So when students come to HCC and mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned you didn't know what you wanted to do, you mentioned that yourself. I personally can share maybe a little bit of my story. When I was a student, you know, I was a non-traditional student when I came and joined HCC, and I have to be honest, I did not go to counseling and career services. Mm-hmm. I just decided not to. I didn't feel like I needed to. Like, I had in my mind very clear, okay, I wanted to work in communications. I wanted to be in production. I wanted to be always, I always liked TV, and I always saw myself working for TV. But then, you know, life happened. Mm. When I came back to HCC, I had my children already. Mm. So in my mind, I made up this idea not fulfill my dream anymore, and I could not work on television, always dreamed of. So I made my reality at that time, and I said, okay, well, I'm just gonna go with because communications is something that's gonna take me farther. And I'm it's not that I regret that decision, because I ended up actually graduating 2 degrees, one in TV and radio production, and then the one in communications. Mm-hmm. But I think that I would have benefited from the counseling career services, because, you know, this answer that I had given myself in my mind, and this path and this dreams kind of mentality, mm-hmm. I learned later, a couple years later, that was not necessarily true, mm. you know, and it took somebody at HCC, it took a professor actually to sit down and say, you know what, you're doing good in your classes, but I just don't see the passion there for this. He was like, is this what you want to do, or why are you doing this? And I was like, because, well, the flexibility, these are the kind of jobs that are going to allow me the flexibility to be progress. And he said, well, but what's really your passion, you know? And he took that time to listen to me. He took that time to really connect with me and understand what I really wanted to do and what I really wanted from my career. And mm-hmm. he kind of pushed me, and he said, you know, you should go and do television and radio production. You'll be surprised what type of jobs you're going to find there. And he kind of just shook me out of my own little box that I had created for myself. Mm-hmm. So when students come to you at counseling and career services, how does that conversation go? You know, this was just towards the end of my career, my communications career, with a professor who I had taken third class, I think it was, with him. And I guess he saw something there, right? He was like, you know, you're going just through the motions here. And that's what helped me, you know, then push forward and be like, you know what, you're right. I can do what I wanted to do. So when students come to the counseling career service and meet with somebody, how do you create that? Because it took 3 classes for my professor to get mm-hmm. there with me. How do you establish that rapport, and how do you connect with the students to better guide them and help them?
Well, we need to get to know the students, obviously, in terms of who they are and what their interests are. Students come to us at all different levels of certainty in terms of what they want for the future. So even if you're pretty certain about what you want to do, and it sounds like you're pretty certain when you first came in, a lot of times counseling services can help solidify that choice. You know, we can sort of do some assessments, look at some of your abilities and your skill levels, and compare that to how the jobs match up to those skill levels. And we could validate that. We could say, hey, you know, you thought you were going to go into this field. It looks like that's a good match for you. And we could sort of be your cheerleader and tell you to move forward. But a lot of people are sort of going in, and then they'll take a class or two, and they'll be like, oh, I don't like math. I, well, I can't be this if I don't like math. So then all of a sudden their career choices start to evolve, and then they get a little confused, and then they start taking all these gen ed classes, but they don't have a direction. So then they come to us and go, you know, I'm not sure what I should do. I thought I was going to do this, but now I don't think I will. So that's when we sort of get to know them a little bit in terms of who they are, what their personalities are like, get to know their background, what they're good at. We do have assessments that we give students on skills and abilities and interests. And then we point them in directions of websites that sort of highlight different careers, and we have them do some research. And then we just have a discussion about what did you find, what seems to match you, and if you're thinking about a certain career, let's talk to the advising office and see, you know, what kind of options they have here at HCC and what classes you might have to take next semester. So it's a very collaborative discussion that we have, and we can't do our jobs without you giving us information about who you are and where you come from, so that we can help point you in a direction that matches you.
We go back to that idea of communicating. You know, just really being open, I guess, mm-hmm. and honest about what we want, maybe what we don't know, which mm-hmm. is, I think, really important in that process of discovery, just being able to say, I actually don't know where I want, so that you guys can guide them and through the assessments and things. Now, you mentioned the assessments, and I'm a little curious about that. So can you tell us a little bit more about those? Are they, you know, what are you looking for? Are they like, you know, like an SAT or something like that, where you have to sit down.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong answers for our assessments. We have what's called interest inventories. So we have what's called a strong interest inventory, where people can just basically describe what skills they like to do. And then at the end, there's a big report that lists job categories and then specific jobs that match based on your answers. But that's interest. And so we also have the Myers-Briggs type indicator, which is basically a personality test. And what it looks at is, here's the way you operate in the world, and here's sort of letters that describe you in terms of how you operate. How can we match a job that matches your personality? So, you know, we take that information and sort of put it into the data that we're collecting as well. We also look at past experiences, what you've done in the past. Sometimes we look at even hobbies, like what did you do for when you were a kid that you really enjoyed doing it? And usually that's an intrinsic skill that you've had since you're a child, and maybe sometimes that can be turned into an occupation. And so we have a lot of these assessments, and we have some more formal, like the Myers-Briggs and the Strong. We have informal assessments like the Focus 2, and then we have a conversation, and so a lot of it is just talking about your history and your background, and then basically looking at all that data and see what's the convergent data, what's the data that points sort of in the same direction. And that tends to be a career that might match you.
Sounds very intricate, but it seems sounds easy. At least, you know, from the user point, it sounds easy. It sounds like you do all the hard work on your end.
Yeah, exactly, right.
So I know you mentioned a little bit of the services that you guys offer, but I definitely want to dive a little bit deeper into that and unpack those, because I think that that's really the meat of what you guys do at Counseling and Career Services. So if you could just share with us some of those services.
I'd love to. So we have career services and we have counseling services. So those are two, it seems like they're separated services, but they're actually intertwined. A lot of times when you don't know what you want to do in life, and that creates some angst and anxiety and maybe even depression. So it turns into a mental health issue, and they both sort of interrelated. So I feel like they're both areas that are connected to each other. But just talking about the career services area, we're for people that have no idea what they want to do, or they're lost, or they're changing their ideas, or they're changing their minds midstream, and you need to start from scratch. You sort of have all these possibilities, and you need to sort of narrow that funnel into possibilities. And we talked about some of the assessments that can help you do that. So it's a great place to begin a conversation about who am I, what's my place in the world, what am I supposed to be doing with my life, basically. And then we sort of explore that with you, and then hopefully it doesn't take more than maybe two or three sessions. friends and we sort of help you point you in a direction and then you go off and do what you have to do. We also have people that come in and they're interested in going into the world of work and they need to sort of prepare for that experience. And so a resume review might be important. So you might have to have somebody look it over, make sure it's presentable, have all the corrections made, make sure you're selling yourself the best way you can, even if you feel like you don't have much experience to put on a resume. We also help you with the interview process. We do what's called mock interviewing, where we'll pretend to be the employer and you can come in as the potential employee and interview for the job. And then we can give you some feedback in terms of how the interview went and what you should and shouldn't do when you do get an interview. So that's a really big piece as well. And then the last thing is we do co-op and internship programs and placements. So if you're interested in a co-op or internship, whether it be paid or unpaid, you can explore those options with us and talk to our internship manager about what's out there for you, because it's always good to get real life experience in a job before you really make the final decision whether or not that's really a job that you want to do. And the great thing about our career services, whether it be career counseling, job search, or internships, those services are offered to not only HC students, but to the community as well. So if you have a family or friend or a loved one or anybody else that's probably needs our services, we do offer it to the community as well. And it's a great service to provide for the community. And hopefully maybe if they think about taking a class or two at HCC, that's great. But we have about 20% of our students that seek our career services are from the community. So that's our sort of career side. And then we have personal counseling. Now, unlike career services, our personal counseling is only offered to college students, our HCC students, and they're only offered to students taking credited classes. We have to sort of get specific because, you know, there's 14,000 students taking credited classes, another 20,000 taking non-credited classes. We only have so much staff to see people with. But the mental health services are for anybody that's struggling with any type of mental health issue, anything that's getting in the way of your functioning, especially with your trying to succeed academically. And so we offer up to 12 sessions a year, and that clock starts July 1st. So you get 12 new sessions every July 1st. And something that we hold valuable for our counseling services is that we're not only a free service, but we're also confidential. So everything that you talk about with a counselor stays with a counselor. We do not divulge that you're even attending the session. We often get faculty members calling us saying, oh, I referred so-and-so. Could you just tell me if they showed up? I don't need to know what they talked about. And we said, well, you really can't do that. So we take that very seriously, else nobody would trust us or nobody would talk to us. So we do a lot of individual one-on-one counseling. We also do group counseling. So we offer groups every year, and we have about 4 groups that go every year. So we have the relationship support group, which is basically a group for students that are having a hard time connecting with other students. And that could be forming connections, establishing connections, maintaining connections, maybe getting rid of toxic connections. And these relationships could take all different forms. Could be romantic relationship, could be family, could be friends. And so we create a group that helps develop some skills and they use those skills in the real world. We also have a Women of Color group that Dr. Joy Stevens runs to address unique needs of women of color on campus. We have a Career Links group for single parents, and we have a stress management group as well. So those groups tend to run every year, and it's really easy. You just have to schedule a screening just to make sure you're appropriate for the group, and then the groups get started usually about a month into the semester. And so we do, and in addition to all those services, we do a lot of outreach. So we're trying to make a presence, and nowadays we can't be on campus, but we try to make a presence on campus just to not only advertise our services, but to let people know what we do. So this would be an example of that, sort of talking to you about this. But we also go into the classrooms. We do education about career, resume reviews. We talk about the assessments, the the Strong and the Myers-Briggs. We do assessments in classrooms. And then we, in terms of our personal issues, we talk about personal wellness issues. Could be how to relax, how to get better sleep, that kind of thing. So we're trying to be as vocal as we can in terms of, hey, we exist. It's amazing how much outreach we do, and yet we still get a lot of students that go, I never knew there was counseling services on campus. So it seems like the job is never done in terms of promoting ourselves. And then during this pandemic, when we've been remote, I think the challenge has been sort of exponential, because now people think maybe we're closed because the campus is closed, and it's farther, nothing could be further from the truth. We're open and we're willing to see you. It's just now we have to advertise ourselves in different ways and be creative in advertising ourselves.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned something that I think is very valuable for a lot of people right now, because COVID-19 came, many people lost their jobs, and you said that you guys offer career services to people in the community. So I just want to emphasize that a little bit, and for maybe for people who lost their jobs and are thinking about, I don't know, looking either for a new job within their same career, but they haven't done that in years because they had a job for many years.
Yeah,
exactly. That just got taken away, or you said something really powerful. You want to make sure that you're selling yourself right on your resume, that you're putting all the right information on there, not too much, not too little, and that's super important. So for those community members who maybe are looking either to change their careers right now, maybe are considering, you know, I've been in this industry for all these years, now that I don't have a job, I've always dreamed about doing this other thing over here. What is that process like? How do they get in touch with you? How can they start that conversation to maybe get their resumes reviewed, or actually have a conversation with somebody about career choices?
Yeah, the best way and the easiest way to start counseling services is just give us a call. Our number is 443-518-1340, and somebody's going to pick up the phone right away, and it's the easiest way. We also have an email that we use, and for people that are interested in having their resume reviewed, they can just send their resume to our general email address, and one of the career counselors will pick it up and give them feedback. So I can give you that email address. It's ccs@howardcc.edu. So feel free to just send in the resume right away. You don't have to call anybody. You can just go ahead and send it in, and somebody will give you feedback on that. But usually when you call in and you make an appointment, we try to get to see you within a day or two, depending on how busy. I know in the summer hours are actually pretty open, so we'll probably see you right away. And we usually do the Zoom. We try to do as much Zoom connection as we can to see you face-to-face, but we do phone sessions as well. But that's really the best way. I mean, if we're on campus, I would say, hey, drop by our office, come and see us. We'll talk to you face to face, but unfortunately we can't do that right now.
And then for students, you know, we started our conversation saying there's a couple of stress factors that are happening right now. One is the reopening, which can be positive or negative depending on how you look at it, right? And then we also have the protest and everything else that's happening, all the change that's going on around, and that creates a tension, that creates stress. You know, we're trying to wrap our minds around it and understand it in the best possible way. So for students who might be feeling more anxious or who have strong opinions and want to get them out, but maybe are afraid of doing so because they could be looked at in the wrong way, or, you know, just so many different feelings that we are all, I think, just feeling. It's the word right now. You know, how can they get in touch with you? What are the requirements that they need to be enrolled full time? And how did they start that conversation?
Yeah, they do have to, if they want personal counseling services, they do have to be enrolled in at least a one credit class. So that's pretty much the basic minimum requirement. And the way they get in touch is through that phone number I just gave you, the 443-518-1340. We do a lot of outreach. I know Joyce Stevens has been trying to get the word out since the pandemic hit, letting people know that we're here, but also giving people a platform to talk about what's going on. So she has a food for thought program that runs twice twice a month, and it talks about a lot of different issues, and a lot of them are related to social justice themes. And so her first set of ones during the month of April were about the pandemic, and they were about how are you dealing with it, you know, how are you coping with it, what are the stress management techniques you can use, how could you relax, how can you get better sleep, that kind of stuff. And then even today at 12 noon today, there she's collaborating with Student Life and Wellness in terms of creating a talking circle just to talk about what's been going on in the past 3 months, and it's going to be student focused so that students can have a voice and to express themselves. So I think you're right about communication is key, being able to talk about it and to have really uncomfortable conversations that maybe we haven't had in years that we should have had a long time ago. It starts with just talking and saying something, and hopefully those words turn into action someday when you think about what's going on in the world today.
Now, when you guys are providing these opportunities, obviously if it's one-on-one, then you have to know who you're speaking to, and there's a process to get qualified, especially for counseling services. But, you know, for the bigger groups, is there a way, because I know many people are afraid of coming out and just putting themselves out there for whatever reason, right? Is there a way that people can remain anonymous throughout this process, or
if they join one of the bigger
possibility to maybe not
if they join one of like the Zoom presentations we do?
Yeah.
Well, I imagine they don't have to go on camera. They don't have to mic up. I mean, they could sort of protect their identity that way. Or if people call, they're given sort of an anonymous number through Zoom, and they don't have to identify who they are, and they're not going to be on camera. So there is ways to remain anonymous but still have a voice if you want to talk, or at the very least hear other voices and be a participant in that way. And then you can always chat if you don't want to actually talk on the mic.
Right. And then as Jay said earlier, definitely the individual services are confidential, so you're protected. So if you want to just start a conversation, and it feels like right now anything you say can and will be used against you, you know, by everybody out on social media. Mm-hmm. But it is important. It is important to talk about this. It is important to gather your thoughts. It is important to put them out there. And so, again, I encourage you to contact the Counseling Career Services department, because it is a safe place to come and have those conversations.
Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. We do use Zoom, and I know some people might be a little concerned about the Zoom platform, but we use a special HIPAA-compliant version of Zoom that medical doctors use. So we protect the data. It's very protected. Nothing gets stored in the cloud. So it's just a conversation between two people. So we take that privacy very, very seriously.
Now, you also mentioned some of the events, right, that you guys carry on throughout the school year. And obviously, mm-hmm. when we're actually physically on campus, it's easy to say, okay, go to room this, go to room that.
Right.
When you guys transition to remotely, have you guys been able to keep all of them? Are you still running all of them? I know you mentioned one that's happening today at noon. Where can people find those information? How can they register? How can they participate? Is it all via Zoom?
It's mostly via Zoom. We collaborate a lot with Student Life and Wellness, so they will put out announcements and emails about programs that we're often co-sponsoring. So, and sometimes it'll be professors that are creating an event, and so we'll co-sponsor with them. But, you know, we have to use what the media we have, which is emails, unfortunately, seems to be the best option for us. But the Food for Thought program is something that continued even during after the shutdown. Now, we did have a job fair planned right as the college was shutting down. Actually, it was the following week after we shut down. And we did have to cancel that. And the job fair tends to be one of the bigger career initiatives that we have. And so in the fall, we're supposed to have another job fair. We usually have about 80 to 90 employers here, or 400 to 500 people come and visit the job fair, especially now with the unemployment rate that's even more important than ever. So if we're not going to be on campus in the fall, we're considering doing a virtual job fair where people can virtually visit employers and still have that experience, but just through a different platform.
So it sounds like you guys are working on just adjusting things and I guess just like everybody else, just continuing to be fluid and patient as things continue to advance.
Yeah, and as the this pandemic happens sort of near the middle and near towards the end of the semester, we're faced with a challenge in the fall. So if we're not on campus, all those outreach initiatives that we do, including depression screening, food for thought, there's a Women of Color series that we do where we invite speakers for women of color, mindful meditation classes that we offer, tabling events where we're actually sitting at a table, talking to people walking by. All those things have to be done remotely. And so we're in the summer months, we're planning on how to make that experience happen as much as we can and have that sort of human connection, albeit virtual, so that we're still doing the programs, but just with a different way of doing it.
Right. And it's important, I think, for students and community to know that, you know, just because we're not on campus doesn't mean that we are not finding creative ways to still bring all of those services and still connect with everybody in the best possible way. Some things we just might not be able to recreate and might just not be able to do it, but we're definitely, there's constant communication. There's, you know, from all sources. I think I've met so many more people now that I'm home than I ever did when I was actually on campus.
That's ironic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's I've been enjoying it because it really shows that HCC cares and that they're really, you know, it's like it became a lot more clear, maybe the fact that that everybody has to work together to continue to be able to provide the good services that HCC prides on and has always provided to students, staff, faculty, and the community in general. So I've enjoyed that part. I think it painted a more clear picture of how good HCC really is and how much it cares for everybody as we came home and they were like, okay, we need to, you know, we need to work even stronger together now than ever so that we can continue to provide that safety net, that you know, that network for all of our students and everybody was part of HCC. So I greatly appreciated that. You mentioned that you work with Student Life and Wellness Center. I'd like to expand a little bit on that, you know, and tell us a little bit about that relationship with the Wellness Center. I think it probably works a little more intricate than with Student Life.
Yeah, since day one that I've been here, I've gotten to know Tara Rupp and her staff at the Wellness Center because they're such an integral part in all the outreach that we do. She and Joy Stevens coordinate the Safe Zone training. We do that at least once a semester. They're going to sort of do an adapted version of that for the fall semester. But promoting wellness and promoting healthy mental health living, basically, is something that they help us do. So anytime we're at a table for like depression screening during October, the second week in October is depression screening. So we would go to the Galleria when we're on campus and we would have our table and then the Wellness Center would have their table with their initiatives. And they would help us sort of wrangle people in and say, hey, would you like to take a screener? Would you like to see how you're doing in terms of your mental health? And then we would use the Wellness Center offices to do private screening, to give them the assessments and to go over it with them and then maybe talk about counseling options if it was necessary. But, you know, we just work with them hand in hand with most of the stuff that we're doing and any initiatives like suicide prevention initiatives, we'll always call up the Wellness Center and say, hey, can you help us with this? Can you help us with a tabling event or can you help us promote it? They have a strong presence with social media. So we help they help promote our services that way. But yeah, you couldn't ask for better people to work with and more collaborative people to work with.
You also mentioned earlier, Jay, that you know sometimes teachers might refer a student to you guys, and that leads me to believe that you know faculty have a big part on maybe pointing out to students about your services, but at the same time letting you guys know that there might be a student who might be struggling and not seeking for help. So how's that relationship, and how does faculty interact with students, and how do they look out for our students at HCC?
Yeah, that's so huge. When I do the statistics at the end of the year, one question we ask students is, how'd you hear about our services? Were you referred? And about 45% of the students that come to our services were referred by a faculty or staff member. So faculty and staff are usually the ones that see the beginnings of someone struggling with a mental health issue, and it's affecting their attendance, it's affecting their performance. Maybe a student is opening up to them during their office hours. They're getting a lot of information, and it can be overwhelming for that staff member to go, oh, I'm not a counselor, I shouldn't. But they often connect with us and they say, hey, I have this student that I'm really concerned about. And they can do that in lots of different ways. They can just give us a call and call us at the number that I've been promoting, or we have what's called an assist report, where they can fill out in a report that goes to this sort of assist team that looks at students of concern and tries to get them help that they need if they're struggling. So they can fill out the assist report. We have this great program called Cognito with a K, and it's like an online training program for faculty where they can interact with avatars and learn how to increase their confidence in talking to students about mental health issues. Because if you have a student that comes to you and they say, I'm thinking about hurting myself, that's a tough conversation to have. And maybe people even try to avoid that conversation because they're like, what if they say yes, they're going to kill themselves? Well, that's important to start the conversation and then get those people referred to the mental health professionals that can really help them. So we do a lot of training with faculty and staff in terms of how to identify someone that might be suicidal and what kind of words do you say to them? How do you persuade them to get help? And how do you actually walk them over or give us a call or consult with us somehow? So we are getting those kind of referrals, even during the pandemic, remotely through emails or phone calls or through the assist reports. Faculty are a huge resource in terms of not only identifying students, but getting students the help they need as they get through this experience.
Now, do you guys also offer services for faculty and staff? Because as we said at the beginning, you know, this pandemic came and it hit everybody, students, faculty, staff, and everybody else in the world alike. So do you guys provide, you know, counseling services for faculty and staff at HEC as well?
Unfortunately, we don't, just because it's the services are so limited. What we do, we do a lot of consultation. So if faculty and staff are struggling with some type of issue, we'll meet with somebody once just to talk about, you know, where they could get the help. And if they're full-time staff and they have benefits, we'll refer them to the EAP, and human resources could help provide them with services. They can certainly participate in some of the outreach that we do, because we're doing outreach that affecting everybody, not just students. So a lot of times we'll get faculty and staff that join like a Food for Thought program and will participate. And I know Joy Stevens is actually running a 4-week mindful meditation class starting soon for just faculty and staff, so they can join that just to help sort of reduce some of their anxiety. But in terms of the regular ongoing one-on-one counseling, we don't provide that for faculty and staff.
But there are definitely services available for faculty and staff. So if you work at HEC and you're going through a hard time, you know, like Jay said, you know, call us, you know, we'll have that initial conversation with you. Might not be able to provide you with the counseling ourselves, but might be able to guide you. And sometimes just having that guidance and just having that person to say, hey, go here or go there, it's that one, that first step is just very, very important in getting you to the right place.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, we would be remiss to end our conversation today. We've acknowledged the fact that we are going through hard times. We've acknowledged the fact that the times that we're going through, nobody was prepared for. You know, we started with the pandemic. It then became, you know, social justice became at the forefront of the conversation, and everybody's trying to deal in the best way that they can. So taking advantage that I have you here with me today, I wanted to just open the microphone to you so that you can maybe share a message to everybody, you know, as we're trying to make some sense of everything that's happening and as we're trying to gather our thoughts and our feelings with everything that's been coming our way. So if you could just share something with everybody who's listening, I think that would be much appreciated.
Yeah, I think the one big thought I have for people struggling with all different types of issues, including what's going on in the news today, is that you're not alone, that there are other people here that you can talk to. I know during this pandemic, we're all quarantined, we're all isolated, and isolation seems to be the theme of staying safe. And just the opposite has to happen when you are struggling with thoughts or just dealing with the amazing atrocities that are happening in the world today. The important thing is to talk. Like you said, communication is really key, because even if you don't talk to a mental health counselor, just talking to somebody will help give you some perspective. Either they'll agree with you and say, this is awful and you have every right to feel this way, or they might give you a different perspective and they might sort of provide some alternate ways of coping, or they might provide some solutions or some ways that you could be proactive and actually get more involved so you can feel like you're making a difference. So the important thing is to talk to somebody. And if it is a mental health issue and it's something that's beyond what your friends can deal with, they might recommend going to a counselor. And that's where we can come in. And we get a lot of referrals from friends and associates of students that are saying, hey, my friend's really struggling. I'm not sure who to help them. Would you mind either reaching out, or would you mind if I give them your number? And I'm like, by all means, do that. But, you know, we're setting up this dialogue today about this, you know, the social justice issues that are going on in the world. And it's just about dialogue. It's just about people talking about how they're feeling. And like I said earlier, hopefully dialogue turns into action that actually changes the world. So that's the beginning of a larger process.
Absolutely. And, you know, I also want to take this opportunity to normalize the conversation about counseling, because we have this idea that something must be really, really wrong with you if you're seeking counseling, right? Like there's a stigma that comes with counseling. There's a stigma that comes with looking for help for your mental health. And I just want to, you know, kind of like hopefully get rid of that idea, help normalize that conversation, help normalize the idea that just like you go to the doctor when you get hurt, when you have a cold, when, you know, something just feels weird in your leg, your toe, whatever part of your body you want to mention there, right? It should be just as normal. It should be just as okay to say, you know what, I'm feeling a little more stressed lately, or I'm not feeling like myself. I feel like there's too much going on inside and I need to talk to somebody. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, thank you for saying that, because, you know, for someone that's a diabetic, we don't judge them for not making enough insulin in their body so that they have to get treatment for that. So it's just like, and I always sometimes use the analogy, if you fell down the stairs and you broke your leg, and your leg was obviously broken, but then you continue to walk and people are like, are you okay? You don't think you're okay. It looks like your leg's broken. You're like, no, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. That would look a little ridiculous, wouldn't it? So you would go to the hospital with no hesitation and get it looked at and get it taken care of. And the same thing has to do with your mental health. And the more people that talk about it, like if people talk about going to therapy themselves, it reduces the stigma. So don't be afraid to talk about your own experiences with therapy, and that will make it more normal for other people to maybe access those services. But thank you for putting it out there. I think the stigma is something that we're constantly struggling with. But my hope is that in more recent years, you know, especially with social media, people put their whole lives online. And so people are pretty much open to everything. And my hope is the stigma is starting to be reduced.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's important to take care of ourselves. And I love the analogy that you just did right there. You know, when it should be just like that. If something feels different, if you're feeling less energetic, if you find yourself eating less, and not because you're trying to lose weight, but because just, you know, something different is happening with you.
Yeah. I often tell people that I look for, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I often tell people in terms of whether or not you might need help, I say, look at really basic self-care skills. And you mentioned eating, sleeping, and then personal hygiene. If all those are being neglected, then the mental health issue is probably affecting you to the point where you probably need to get some counseling.
And that's exactly where I wanted to go. I wanted to ask you, you know, like the things, like little flags that because many times we're so used to, pushing through. We're just so used to being the strong one. I have to be strong. I have to be good. And we just neglect completely all of that. So I know you barely mentioned the three of them, but you know, if we could just maybe point out some flags or some things that maybe people should be looking for, maybe people should be just aware and maybe say, you know what, there might be something else going on and I need to probably contact somebody to help me.
Yeah, and in addition to those three, I always tell people, whatever you're struggling with, how is it affecting different arenas that you live in? So you have a personal life, you have personal relationships, you have a family life, you have a school life, you have a work life, you have all these different arenas in which you experiencing the world, right? And you have a social life. And if those are being affected by your mental health issue, then what you're doing is you're putting your support system at risk. You're actually isolating yourself more. So if you're noticing that those relationships are changing or being impacted by your mental health issues, then that's another sign that you probably need to get some help.
Yeah, and it would take much more than the last few 9 minutes that we have here left for a conversation to really cover all of that. But it is important. It is important that I just, you know, want to normalize this as much as possible. I have to say that on a personal level, when I was struggling with some things, it took a lot of courage for me to get rid of that stigma and actually say, you know what, I need somebody to help me more than what my mom can do, because many times our family or many times our friends are biased in mm-hmm. the opinions that they give us, you know, yeah. especially if it's a relationship that involves somebody else, you know, mm-hmm. they have their own opinions of that person, right? And they have their own feelings about that person. And many times they're going to, now granted, it's with the best intentions at heart because they love you, right? But they have their own opinions about, you know, one thing or another. When you go to a counselor, when you go to somebody who's unbiased, who is completely separated from your life, they have this perspectives that are fresh that I would have never been able to see by myself. So when in my life, when I've gone to counseling, when I've had this, you know, the opportunity and the privilege, really, I consider it a privilege, once I got out of my own head and realized this is more than I can handle on my own, and I did it, I felt so grateful and I felt so good, because I was able to look at the same situation, the same problem, but through the eyes of somebody else with this fresh perspective, and you know, it was a female counselor, and she was giving me strategies, and she was saying, you know, when you're feeling this, right now you have this pattern of how you react to it. Next time you feel this way, try this, you know, try that. Just learning to breathe, you know, just learning to take deep breaths. I mean, little simple stuff like that she taught me that have stayed with me for years and years and years. And I continue to use every time I feel stressed. I mean, I remember what she said, 4 breaths in, 8 out, you know, like little things like that make a huge difference on your day-to-day life and allow me to carry my life in a much better and a much healthier way. So I really do encourage everybody who might be feeling big feelings and just not able to process them on your own. There's no shame. There's no, you know, there's nothing bad about contacting a counselor and actually having an honest and open conversation, decompressing all of those feelings with that person and hearing that fresh perspective. They're not going to solve your problems, but let me say that they're not going to give you the solution and say, okay, you have question A, the answer is C. That's not how that works.
Nope.
But what they can do is they can give you techniques so that then you can come up with your own answers and then move on the path that's going to get you to where you want to be, which is a good, healthy place. Let's just remind everybody how to connect with you guys, you know, through social distancing times, and how to start those conversations and hopefully take advantage of all of the services that you guys do for both counseling and career services.
Yeah. It starts with a phone call. It starts with the number, the 443-518-1340. Or if you want to email us, there's a general email, the ccs@howardcc.edu. If they would like to email me personally, my email is jcoughlin, that's CoughLin@howardcc.edu. I'd be happy to answer any questions people might have. But I just want to thank you for your speech. I think you couldn't have said it better. I think it's really nice that you're promoting us this way. And I just echo your sentiments.
Thank you, Jay. I really appreciate it. Before we wrap our conversation up today, is there anything else that you would like to add for everybody who's listening or watching today?
Well, I want to thank you for having me on. I think this is part of what we're trying to do is promote our services, reduce that stigma that we're talking about. And I just like to reiterate something that you said, which is it can be difficult to make that first step. And we understand that. And so often with people that come to me and they've never been to counseling before, I have a conversation about counseling. What was it like? How did you come to this decision? What's it like to talk to me? If there's a cultural difference, what's it like to talk to a white male about this issue? So we're okay having a conversation about having a conversation. So we're very sensitive to that if you're really hesitant to come in. So please, it just takes a phone call and we're here to help you.
And it is important to have those uncomfortable conversations because it is that very first time is very uncomfortable. I was there. Yep. I remember just sitting there and looking down, you know, and like every time I was asked a question, just barely looking up and being like, okay, I'm going to answer now. But, you know, it gets easier. It gets better because it really does help you. It really makes a difference. And once you start feeling that, it's almost like you crave it, you know. It's kind of like going to the gym for the first time where you really don't want to do it, right? But you know it's good for you, but there's still that hesitation and you have to make the time. And, you know, it's just like anything new in life. But I promise you that if you're struggling with something, it's the best decision that you can make and it will definitely, definitely help you. And another thing that I want to say before we wrap our conversation up is, you know, let's say you meet with Jay today and, you know, you're not comfortable because, as he said, he's a white male and you would prefer it be, you know, somebody of color who can connect with you better and a female. Feel free to say that to the person that you're meeting with. You know, absolutely. Don't feel obligated to stay in with that person unless you feel fully comfortable with that person. It's okay to look for other person that you can connect with better. And Jay, if you can second that, I think that's powerful.
We do the best to accommodate you, and whatever's going to make that conversation or easier to have that conversation with a counselor, we'll do our best to make that happen. Absolutely.
It's all about you. You know, you can, in this one, you know, we usually say it's not personal. And I know that Jay and the counselors are not going to take it personal, but they are very much invested in your well-being. So, you know, that's when it becomes very, very personal and they're here to help you. So, take it from me. I didn't do it as a student, but I've done it as Chris, you know, in my personal life, because I've seen the value of it. I've seen the importance of it, and it's helped me just handle life in general much, much better. So thank you, Jay, so much for your time today. Thank you very, very much for all the information and for being available for the students and everybody in our community to help us, you know, guide us and find our paths and navigate them a little bit better, because it is important.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.